From the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The New Testament is largely made up of letters. These letters were written by some of the first people to carry the message that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified and rose again to new life for the sake of the world. As these first teachers, also called apostles, traveled, they wrote letters back to the communities of people that had begun to gather around the message of Jesus. And those communities saved and treasured those letters, and they wrote and shared copies of them among other Christian communities. Now, some of these letters are really lovely, and you feel pretty good reading them. And some of them are a little tense. If the Apostle Paul's first letter to the people in the city of Corinth, which we just heard a bit of, was, say, a modern-day email from your dad, the subject line would read, "We need to talk," period. The first letter to the Corinthians does not stand alone. It's attached to real people and circumstances. And while much of the details are lost to history, we know a good bit about what was going on from Paul's correspondence with them. We know that the Christian community in Corinth was experiencing a lot of conflict. There were warring factions springing up based on who followed what Christian teacher. And there were nasty fights about whether it was okay to eat meat sold in the marketplace, much of which had been sacrificed to idols. Members of the community were suing each other. How do I put this delicately? One guy had a really unique relationship with his stepmother. That's in chapter 5. The worst situation had to do with Holy Communion, which back then was usually part of a larger communal meal. In Corinth, the members with wealth and status had turned Holy Communion into something like one of their elaborate dinner parties, which meant that they brought all of the divisions of class and status into the sacrament of Holy Communion. For the rich and important people of Corinth, Holy Communion was becoming a literal feasting and networking event. For the poor and enslaved members of the church, it was the usual indignities, which is the exact opposite of what Holy Communion is supposed to be, by the way. At Holy Communion, we are united by our common need for Jesus. But at Holy Communion in Corinth, Paul writes that some were going home drunk, while others were going home hungry. And so Paul writes this church a letter begging them to find unity in their common experience of being called into relationship with Jesus. He uses metaphors of the human body to drive the idea home. In our baptism, we are baptized into one body. That is, we are united with the body of Jesus. There is no distinction between Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, Paul writes. Put differently, there are no nationalities. There is no status in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there is only Jesus in his many members. And yet those many members are human beings who at times sin out of selfishness and fear. This past week, there was an interfaith inaugural prayer service at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. The president, the vice president, and their families were in attendance. Bishop Marianne Buddy, the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington, D.C., preached about the hard work of unity. Given the high ideal of true unity among people and the unselfishness that it requires, and given also that politics comes with very high stakes regarding the rights and liberties and livelihoods of so many vulnerable people, she asked, "Is unity even possible? And why should we care?" "I hope we care," she said. She said, "The culture of contempt that has become normalized in this country threatens to destroy us." She went on to say that we are right to pray for God's help in building stronger unity among ourselves, because we need God's help for that task. But it's only worth praying if we are willing to put in the work. The work she called Americans to invest themselves in included honoring the dignity of every human being. That's from our baptismal covenant. And a commitment to honesty and humility. Then, addressing the president directly, she said, "In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children who fear for their lives." Referring to undocumented immigrants, Bishop Buddy noted that these people have vital roles in our country and are, by and large, good neighbors. She asked the president to have mercy on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away. Help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. She concluded, "May God grant us all the strength and the courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth in love, and walk humbly with one another and our God, for the good of all the people of this nation and the world." And so we find ourselves here and now, baptized into Christ's one body. Baptized for what? If the first letter to the Corinthians means anything, we were definitely not baptized to be perfect people, at least not now. Rather, we have been baptized to proclaim Jesus' resurrection for the sake of all. By his death and resurrection, Jesus has defeated sin and death. And we get to take part as Jesus wrenches the world out of their grip. Namely, we get to take part by being his hands and feet in the world, serving and loving those who our society hates. But first, we need to be renewed. Jesus' renewal of this world starts inside of me and you and all of us. That is why the Apostle Paul was so concerned with the unity of the Christians in Corinth. Because if we don't have unity with ourselves as one body, how in the world are we going to seek and serve Christ in our neighbors? Paul again uses the body to make his point. We need our eyes and our noses, ears, hands, feet, backs, etc. We need every part of ourselves to be who we are. Look to your right and your left and behind you. This is not a rhetorical device. I really ask that you look and see who is near you. Please, just take a moment. Hi, Jeffrey. Good morning. We need each other. The people directly around you, you need them, they need you. Our faith is not something we can do by ourselves. Our faith is the practice of seeking and serving Christ in all, beginning with those who are right next to us. We live in an age where almost anything can be made divisive, including calls from a Christian bishop to one of the most powerful men in the world, who himself says he is a Christian, to have mercy on vulnerable groups of people. What else is a bishop for? And you know, when we get riled up in the rage machine, a whole lot of politicians and social media companies and cable news networks and so on make a lot of money off of us, which is reason enough to resist it. But the greater reason is because the division of this age is anti-Christ. It is anti-Christ. We are one body with Jesus, and through him we are one body with each other. To remain one with each other, Paul tells us that we must notice who is mistreated out in the world, who among us suffers, who among us is treated with little honor or respect, and we must ensure that here, among this body, they are treated as the valued, beloved, and honorable people God has created them to be. To the Corinthians 2,000 years ago, Paul was basically saying, rich guys, you rich guys, those poor people or those people who are enslaved by some of your buddies, in this body, they are your equals. And it's on you to make sure that they are respected and honored as such in the church. In this letter, what is God saying to us here and now? I am not the final arbiter of that. But I do think that a place to start is with each other. We have got to take notice of each other. We have got to practice seeking and serving Jesus in our Christian siblings, literally the people right around us. We have got to reject anything that would poison us against one of God's children, because that is destructive to Jesus' very body. And if we, the people of St. George's, can seek God's will by doing these things, then perhaps we will have something of value to share with those who do not yet know what Jesus has made possible for them, but who are desperately waiting upon this good news. Amen.